Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm really happy to be here with you today. We've got a great show in store. Before we dive into today's episode, let me take a quick moment to tell you about one of our incredible partners, BetterHelp. It's no secret to y'all that I really value counseling. I'm going today. I think it really matters for us to prioritize our mental and emotional health. If there are things in your life that are causing you to feel stuck or that are interfering with your health and happiness, BetterHelp is here for you. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you can connect with in a convenient, safe, and private online environment. You can send your therapist a message anytime and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. I love that. Plus, you can start communicating within 24 hours. You can schedule video or weekly phone sessions. And it really matters to the team at BetterHelp that they facilitate great therapeutic matches. So they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. And the testimonials they post daily on their website can help you get a feel for how it all works if you have questions. BetterHelp offers services for clients all over the world, and they have licensed professional therapists that specialize in so many different disciplines, things like depression, stress, grief, self-esteem, anxiety, family troubles, and more, which means that the right help is available for whatever it is that you're dealing with. This is not self-help, and it's not a crisis hotline. It's convenient, professional, affordable counseling, and anything you share is completely confidential. I want you to start living a healthier life today. As one of my friends, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/thatsoundsfun. Join over a million people and so many of our friends here at That Sounds Fun who've taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/thatsoundsfun. Today is sadly the last show of our special series called Ennea Summer 2021. The Enneagram is a personality typing system and a tool we love around here because of how it helps us know ourselves better and love our people better. It's just a tool, one of many, that can help with personal growth, but one that we find really interesting and helpful. During Ennea Summer, we've talked with both a male and a female who identify as each type. These have been my staff and my friends or friends of friends who are just normal people who have found the Enneagram helpful in understanding themselves better. Of course, they don't represent everything about their number, nor do they represent every person who identifies as this number, but I think they each did such a beautiful job, and y'all are telling us they did a beautiful job of talking about themselves and giving us an invitation into their lives. We did something a little different this year that y'all seem to enjoy. I did too, where we focused on where each type goes in stress and where they go in security. So be sure to go back and listen to our conversation with all the other eight types and the intro episode with my friend Haley Watkins, who's an Enneagram coach, if you missed those. And now for the final conversation of Ennea Summer 2021 with our Type 7s, Ashley, Craig, and your girl, AFD. You know it. This is the only show where we got three guests of the same number. Sevens are also known as the enthusiasts, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and then we're going to hear some thoughts about sevens from one of our favorite Enneagram experts, Suzanne Stabile. And after that, Ashley and Craig will give us their responses and share more about how they experience the world as sevens. So here's my conversation with our Ennea Summer 2021 Type 7s, Ashley and Craig. Okay. Well, are you ready?
No.
Are you ready? I mean, you're with two professional podcasters.
I know, and the pressure's real. I'm actually nervous.
But you're also the prince, and so everybody loves you.
I mean, honestly, this is the first time we've met, and I feel like I'm in the presence of royalty.
This is all Annie. Annie is she's hyping up who I am.
Hyped you so much, and so has Kelly and right. Jen.
Oh my
and
goodness,
Jamie.
All right. Your friends.
All our friends. Yeah. That was,
who I got to meet on a bus like 2 weekends ago. Which was so much fun.
Yeah. I heard unreal. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then I hear that, like, you're very popular with all the single girls that listen to That Sounds Fun. Or follow Annie
this
on social
true,
media.
Which like, is, yeah, exactly. For the snippets, which is, now I'm concerned because they're going to get, like, a whole hour of Craig now. And they're going to be like, oh, no, this isn't great.
No, they're going to be like, true. I'm in love.
Oh, no.
Right, yeah. Right, maybe. Actually, one of the things we did this year is we filled Ennea Summer first with staff. Because everybody wants to get to know the staff better. And then we filled with friends.
Yep.
And then where we couldn't find direct people that I have phone numbers, we filled with friends of friends.
Got it.
And so, obviously, we are former roommates. I had your phone number.
I can tell you all the things.
Yeah, that's right.
She knows.
But we both know what it's like to live with a seven.
Yeah.
Because we live in our own bodies and we live together. This is the only show where I am also a willing participant. But really, I want to hear way more of y'all than than my thoughts, because I think it's interesting to hear other sevens. Let's start by just doing kind of a basic introduction. Just do your first name, who you are. You can say your age. You can say your marital status. You can say kids and what you do. So, Craig, you start. Just kind of give us an overview of who you are.
Yes. I'm Craig. I work here with Annie as a video photo podcast guy.
Yep.
Legally single is what the term that we've
wow, coined. Yeah, like that. Yeah,
that was referred
right.
in the earlier season. I like that. Earlier episode was mentioned legally single, so no kids.
Yeah.
And 26? I always question about 26.
Okay.
Fun. You got to think about it sometimes.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
And who are you, ma'am?
My name is Ashley. I am Annie's friend.
Yes.
And then I host and produce a ton of content. So I have a radio show on Apple Music called Guest List Radio with Ashley Eicher, mm-hmm. podcast, All Our Favorite People. And then I have a production company. So I create a ton of content for, like, just did something on the ACM Awards.
I was going to say, most recently wow. on the ACMs, like yes. in the middle of the award show.
Which has been, like, my child and my pride and joy yeah. over the last couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so a variety of things. I've worked in the music industry, mostly in country music and pop for the last, well, a long time. If I say how many years, that's going to age all of us. So.
Ashley, you kind of talk about what was your journey of figuring out you identified mostly as a seven?
Well, you told me I was.
Did I? I can't imagine.
You know what you're supposed to do. Tell your friends.
No, this is Yikes. The funny thing. I was thinking about this when you asked me to be on this show, and I'm like, my first feelings about the Enneagram were negative. Like, I think
that's true for a lot of people.
Like, like 5 or 6 years ago, whenever yeah. it became really popular in Nashville.
Yep.
And I felt like, first of all, I don't want to be put in a box. So when someone said you're one of nine numbers, I was like, no.
Yeah.
The Lord made me unique, and
right.
He made you unique.
Right.
And so, and I think, too, every breakfast, lunch, and dinner I went to with any of our friends in, like, Christian circles, mm-hmm. in the music industry, not a lot of people were talking about it.
Yep.
So when I go to work, I didn't hear much about it. But anytime we'd all go to dinner, people were like, what number are you? Oh, he's a this, or you're a this. And I was like, oh, my gosh. One, I don't know enough about it. And two, can we please stop talking about it?
Yeah.
And so, but over time, I started to realize, I'm like, wait, this is a really great tool to understand a little bit more about yourself and other people. And so in terms of figuring it out, I think it was pretty easy. And as mm-hmm. soon as I read the book, it's The Road Back to You.
Yep.
I was like, okay, I'm a seven.
Yeah.
That's just
I feel like sevens end up being the ones that everyone points at and they're like, oh, there's a seven, obviously.
Yeah.
Like,
which yeah. isn't fair because it's not about behavior.
Exactly.
It's about motivation. Yeah. yeah. How do you figure out you related most to Enneagram 7 stuff, Craig?
Did you know
before you worked here?
I heard when I was in high school, actually. I was a junior in high school. So that was 9 years ago, something like that. It was a while ago. And
Single digits years ago.
So long.
I almost spit out my coffee.
Sorry, everyone. I might be the youngest person on here in a while. It's great.
Yeah.
But I heard about it because my brother-in-law was going through it with a church job that he was working at. And so our whole family discovered it. And so we all kind of like took the test and did some reading. And then that I just kind of figured out that I was a seven. And then that was weird learning that you're a seven before you're like an adult and you're discovering your own.
Yeah.
So I went to college and I was like, oh, these are like really high seven tendencies. And so that I feel like really formulated a lot of how I grew up. I don't know. It's a very interesting experience.
That explains some of your maturity that is more than your age, because you kind of started doing some self-work.
Yeah.
As a 20-year-old, and a lot of people don't start doing that until they're 26 or 27.
Because I've heard people being like, you shouldn't know until you're like 30, because then you'll really know you're not like, you're going to be way deep in those tendencies. And I cut it off when I was like, before I was like 21, I was like, oh, these are, I'm going to the mountains because I don't want to go to my exam in college. And I was like, classic seven. And I was like, too young to be doing that. But yeah.
Ash, when you see sevens out in public, or when you see what people perceive as sevens, does it feel true to you?
I mean, I think sometimes. I think I've probably, I don't even know how I want to say this, but yes and no. I think sometimes after going through a whole lot of therapy over the last 3 or 4 years, I've kind of laid back as opposed to where I think sometimes I see sevens and they have to be the life of the party all the time, which...
Yep.
Sometimes I want to be the life of the party all the time, and I am. But then in going through therapy, I also know that I need to sit back and rest and sometimes need time to myself to recharge.
Yeah.
So
Our calendars are very similar, where we'll be like Marco Poloing from the car.
We're mostly like, we are Marco
here we are.
Poloing from
hey,
the
I'm,
car.
I'm running to the show. I'm coming from dinner. I'm coming, but I've been 4 minutes late. I mean, I do like that has been watching you, and especially as we've both been kind of on a similar emotional mental health journey.
Yeah.
As I watch you grow and change, it's a model for me of going like, oh, look at how much Iker,
no one calls me Ashley.
I know.
Really. It's fine.
And look at how much Iker is like choosing rest and choosing peace. And it makes me want to do the same.
Well, and then I look at you and I'm like, oh, wait, I can be fun still. Like, wait,
you
hold
are
on.
So fun. Are you kidding?
I can be fun still. It's fine.
Are you kidding?
I think sometimes when you're really working out the stuff of your past, though, it's really easy to sit in the stuff a lot instead of being reminded, like, wait a second, part of this is me choosing joy and choosing to have fun with people. Like, I don't have to live in my deep therapy brain.
Oh, that's – yeah. Oh, this is going to be great today to talk about stress and security. I'm very excited about this. Okay, let's listen to Suzanne Stabile. She has been on every episode of NES Summer. She's been amazing, describing each number for us. And then we'll talk about where we go and stress and security. But let's listen to her describe a 7. And then y'all can kind of respond to that. Will you define what 7s are?
Sure. So, you know, one of the reasons that I teach in this order is for things that occur when I start with 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted 7s close to the end so you'd have to stay all day.
That's exactly right. That's you taught me that. That's why we shape it like this. 7s will stick around. If you start with us, we're out.
That's right. So it's the end of the summer and you're still here.
That's right.
Okay. 7s. Mm. 7s are a high percentage of the time life-giving wherever they are. Mm. They are entrepreneurial in that they would rather start their own thing and create their own space and their own style than fall in with somebody else's. Not because they're not good followers, but because they get bored. They're easily bored. And so 7s need opportunities to have a career that offers them different kinds of things to do. Like you might have a podcast, and you might be an author, and you might be a speaker, and you might do things that you do. 7s are much deeper than people think. They lead with humor, but just beneath the lead is some significant depth that I wish more people knew to go for, to look for, to ask, to see and hear. 7s are loyal and faithful. And the thing that people won't know about 7s is that they're also fearful. Mm-hmm. And what they're afraid of is being trapped in pain, trapped in a relationship, trapped in a boring job, trapped in, I don't know, all the things that we've all been trapped in.
I was about to say, do you want me to keep going with the list? Because I can tell you. Just kidding.
And it's because they don't trust their ability to deal with pain. Mm-hmm. And that's because since they were children, they have been able to reframe any negative into a positive immediately. Immediately. So when you can do that, you're safe until you're not. Mm-hmm. And then when you come across the first thing that you can't reframe, you have to deal with it. And unfortunately, it is the first domino that leads to all the other things that you've reframed but didn't grieve. Mm-hmm. I think 7s fall right in line with what we expect from them, sadly. We kind of give room for most numbers to have transformative experiences and to grow and change. But when 7s go through a transformative time personally, people tend to say to them, wow, what happened to you? Mm-hmm. used to be so much fun. We want the old fun you back.
Yep. Yep.
And it's so disrespectful. There was always more there than having fun. Mm-hmm. And if that's all that people ask for from you, then that negates most of who you are and who all are who are sevens. Mm-hmm. Sevens are really good at seeing where systems overlap. They're good at knowing how to put the same pieces together in a new form to have a new thing. They are really good at standing for, I'm willing to look at the problems, but let's look at all this good stuff too. Mm-hmm. On the other side, sometimes the problem is to get sevens to understand that there's a problem.
Right, right. Right.
And sevens, because they're charming and smooth, usually don't learn to own their part in things until they're adults. Because yes. they don't have to. When we hear our son, who's a seven, talk about high school, I'm not sure he went to class. Mm. Like he always was talking somebody into, oh, I'll go do that for you, Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Just smooth and gone.
That's right.
I think sevens make particularly good advocates for young adolescents. Hmm. Maybe better than anybody, because they know that you don't have to let go of all things that bring you delight in order to grow up.
Yeah.
And we need a lot of that. Mm-hmm. We need a whole lot of that.
Yeah. So when you think about, go ahead.
Well, people don't trust sevens, I don't think, as much as they should and can. And sevens, along with threes and eights, while they don't deal well with feelings, they are willing to listen. They don't know what to do with the feelings people share with them, but they are willing to be present to them. And that's the path of learning to know what to do with them.
Yeah. Well. We had a lot of
I had a lot of notes.
Wow. Yeah, had a lot of notes,
got a
right?
Lot of notes.
You went in for that. That was right.
Great. Gosh, I love her so
true?
Much.
I know, oh, right? She's so lovely and so smart and so caring in her teaching.
That even just the way that she speaks, I just feel like I'm cared for. Yeah. She didn't even do anything.
Did what she said feel true?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Absolutely.
What stood out to you?
I mean, how many notes do you want?
Yeah.
Right. Go down the list.
I know.
Every single thing, yeah.
I definitely think the first thing that hit was the entrepreneurial, like creating your own space and your own style. We get easily bored. I get easily bored, which I think can be a good and a bad thing. So like even in doing projects, or I have to be very passionate about it for me to stick in the entire time. Mm. Like the perfectionist in me wants to finish it and wants to do 110%. But then sometimes I realize I'm like, I'm getting so bored and why am I bored
with this? Yeah,
it can't be 2 years. It can't be 2 years. Yeah. And so it's probably why I have a lot of different clients and a lot of different projects in my life.
Yeah. So, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating too, because all three of us do our own thing. I mean, like I do freelance video stuff, and that is I'm kind of don't want to be trapped.
We offered him a full-time job and he said no.
I like the freedom of being like, I don't know what my month's going to look like or my week. And it's just like there's some freedom in being able to do your own thing.
But I'm like,
but
the fear.
Oh man,
of what's going to be that next thing? I think in all of us owning our own companies too, and having clients, it's like, okay, there are months that are really great.
Yeah,
and I love that because there's an excitement about, gosh, I'm just getting to create something new. But then there's also the fear of, which when she said fear, I was like, well, keep on preaching.
Yeah,
of. Well, when's the next thing going to come? And what if it doesn't come? And then what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like,
but that also lights something in us, right?
Yeah.
Or you'd both take full-time jobs somewhere.
Well, I've had a full-time job.
Yeah. I mean, your job is full-time.
Yes. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But working for someone. Working for, like I worked at a talent agency for 4 years, both here and in Los Angeles. And then I also did artist management for several years at the start of my career. So I've worked for other companies in a full-time position, but I found myself being like, okay, it's how do I start my own thing? Like, how do I get out of here? Like, I love all of these people, but wasn't the right thing.
Yeah. When I think that we are so future focused, like my mind is always thinking about the next thing. So there is that fear and there's the excitement of like, I have no idea what July is going to bring. Like, that's so exciting. It also could be really terrifying. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, there's kind of both in my head at all times. And I kind of like it though.
I'm sorry. As you started talking, I was pointing. I was like, but. I got really excited.
What do you think, Ash? One of the things that stood out to me is when she said sevens don't get permission to transform or change. That people don't like when
we... Do you feel that?
Yeah, I really feel that. I feel that pretty profoundly. Do you feel that though?
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, I think I've forced it over the last 4 or 5 years. Obviously, therapy again. Yeah. But I think there are also things that happened in my life that forced it, that forced me to take a step back a little bit from being the life of the party all the time. And also, it can get exhausting. Like,
right.
I think, as you were mentioning earlier, like, we're typically Marco Poloing as we go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. The older I get, the more I realize I'm like, that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. Like, and I get bored, like, surfacey conversations. Mm-hmm. I would rather be in a, like, really great quality time with someone, having a really in-depth conversation, than necessarily going from event to event to event to event to event. So sometimes that can feel empty to me.
Do you like deep conversations, Craig?
I prefer
deep
conversations.
Do you like long walks on the beach?
Do you like to hold it?
Wait a second.
Hot in the rain is my favorite thing.
So for all the single ladies out there, do you like long walks on the beach?
I'm great at long walks.
I mean, we're all pretty legally single. So this is actually just a dating show.
We're all single. You know the number to call is below.
That's right. The apps haven't worked, but this podcast will.
This is the one, yeah. No, I think this is the thing is that My greatest fear with conversations is that it's going to be boring. I want something stimulating. And deep conversations are immediately stimulating. They're so much fun. Yes. And so that's the fear for me, is like getting caught in a surfacey conversation. I know that there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And I get bored so fast.
Which is so interesting that each of us have said, I know that about you, Annie. So it's interesting that you said that. And then I said that when she's talking about people think we don't have depth. Or that we can't go deep as sevens, which I know from being friends with you, that is not true. I know just for myself. And obviously getting to know you, Craig, today.
We'll go deep.
Yeah.
It's great.
We can go. How far do you want to go today?
Come on.
It's just interesting to me that people see us that way. Uh-huh. But also, I get it.
Well, I think it's because we're labeled as afraid of pain. And so everyone else goes, oh, Annie's afraid of pain. So I bet she doesn't want to talk about this. And I bet she doesn't, because sevens are afraid of pain. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yeah, we're all afraid of something, but we're also grown-ups who've done our work. I can be in pain.
Well, hopefully we've done our work.
Yeah. Hopefully. The three of us are, for anyone out there.
We're doing great.
The three of us are. The problem is getting sevens to understand that there is a problem.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so optimistic all the time. I've been like, things are going pretty well. Like, I'm a little unhappy about this situation, but it's probably fine. Like, I'm not worried about it. And that's usually, there's
he
something wrong there.
He says it's probably fine 8 times a day. It's probably fine.
Fine.
We'll figure
it
out.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's
the
fine.
The reframing.
That reminds me of that shirt that says, it's fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine. Uh-huh. We're all going to be fine.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation with our sevens to give a shout out to one of our amazing partners, Brooklinen. Feel that thing in the air? It is warmer weather, and that means it might be time for a bedding changeup, maybe a beach towel refresh, and probably some new shorts and short sleeve loungewear. And thankfully, you can get the softest, breeziest versions of all those things and more in one place. I'm talking about a place called Brooklinen. Brooklinen works directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. So you get their amazing array of products at reasonable prices. Brooklinen has something for your every comfort need, ideal for a seasonal refresh because they're launching new products, colors, and patterns all the time. I'm talking buttery, soft, and breathable sheets. I love their new styles for summer, plush and absorbent towels, cozy robes, and comfy loungewear you'll want to put on and never take off. They're so confident in their core products that they come with a 365-day warranty. And fans are confident, too. They received over 75,000 five-star reviews and counting, including mine. My Brooklinen sheets are my absolute favorites. And the only good thing about being back from tour is that I get to sleep in my own bed with my favorite Brooklinen sheets. They're so soft and crisp and cool and welcomed me home. So give yourself the comfort refresh you deserve this summer and shop their summer savings event happening now at brooklinen.com. Don't forget to use our special promo code, That Sounds Fun, to get $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code, That Sounds Fun, for $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com, promo code, That Sounds Fun. And now back to our sevens. I just finished watching The Good Place, and when you get to The Good Place, like when you die on Earth, you go here and you sit on a couch, and on the wall across from you says, "Welcome, everything is fine." So, I was like, "That is literally entering my life. Welcome, yeah. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Things are kind of on fire."
When you think about your childhood and reframing things as a kid, like Suzanne talked about, do you have memories of doing that, of going like, "This isn't that bad," or "I'll be okay," or "This is going to be okay"?
Oh, I got to think about that for a second.
I don't. I'm ready. Let's go.
Go. You go. Go.
So I am one of five kids, and I think the biggest thing for me was always I had really high expectations about the fun that I was going to have or whatever things were going to be. And so I think it was for me realizing that I would, like, have high expectations, go into, like, say we do, like, a camping trip, and I go in, and then it doesn't meet my expectations, my immediate thing would be to reframe and say, okay, this wasn't great, but, like, it's not as bad as it could have been. Like, we could have gotten rained out. We could, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that was my coping mechanism for every time that my expectations weren't met. And I think that was a big deal for me, was be able to reframe everything really quickly. And so that I wouldn't actually have to experience things not being fun.
Oh, interesting.
Very interesting.
I think one of the things I've learned is that our experience of expectation and how much we look forward to something. Mm. Very rarely can the thing hold the pressure that I put on it expectation wise. And actually part of the fun for me is the expectation.
Oh man. Yeah.
Oh yeah. The
like Christmas
lead up
day,
to it.
I'm just like so ready for Christmas day. And I have to pull myself back. Cause I know it's that whole mentality. That's like, nothing's ever going to actually fill that thing inside of me with it. Like if it's going to be Christmas, that's not going to fill it.
Yes. Right.
So I need to bring it back or else Christmas is actually not going to be that fun. And that's hard for me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I found everything to be fun as a kid.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate. I think that this may be something I need to talk to my therapist about that. I don't remember anything until I was probably 13 or 14. That was very difficult to where I had to think about reframing that.
Would the rest of your family agree with that? Or were there things? Like, did a grandparent die? Or
well, when I was 13, my first grandparent died. And I remember that being, that was the very first, and she was like, I mean, my best friend. And I mean, I still think of her that way, even though she's been gone for 20 some odd years. But that was the first traumatic experience in my life of watching her get cancer, progressively get sicker. Now, I will say, now that you say that, over that year that my grandmother had cancer before she died 2 days after Christmas, where I would spend every weekend at the farm, every chance that I got with her throughout my life, that last year of her life, I was so, I think now I look back, terrified to go to the farm because I was so scared to see her that way, that I missed out on time with her because I was trying to avoid the pain.
Dude, yes. We had a person close to our family that lived with us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when she stopped living with us, I couldn't talk to her on the phone because I could not go into the sadness.
Yeah.
That if I could just ignore that she existed, I could reframe that she was great, but now she's gone.
Yeah.
But then she would come over or she would call and want to talk to us on the phone. And I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look back at that and I remember I'll be like, oh, I'll go later. But it was me being so scared to see her getting progressively sicker.
Yeah.
And I could cry thinking about being terrified to lose her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I feel like we build that world then. It's like our imaginary world. We're like, that person's gone then. Because that's easier for me to live in that world that I've created for myself than it is to actually step into the pain, which is really rough.
That's right. And then for me, and this is true in all these stories, the other person suffers because they don't get relationship with me.
Mm.
Because I can't feel the pain of answering a phone call. And so the relationship dies because I can't enter into the grief. And, oh, man, I have so many regrets about that. Nothing is worse than when I feel what? What is that for y'all? Nothing is worse than when you feel what? As a seven.
Not seen.
Not seen. Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Yeah, not known or not seen.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the worst.
Why?
Or invisible. If I feel invisible to people in my life, whether it be like family or friends, or feel not seen, it's that feeling of not being known.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the worst for me. Or when I go into comparison, that's when it really gets.
But it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
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 I'm sorry to hear that. Craig?
Yeah. I think for me, it's trapped, genuinely. Yeah. Just like if I feel like I don't have any options or ways out or whatever it is, especially if it's something like I'm tasked with something that I have to do and there's no way to make it fun or whatever it is and I'm forced to do it, that is, I think it just makes my skin crawl and I find any way to just like go and leave and burn it to the ground. And so that, yeah, that feeling is the worst.
Yeah, I'd rather burn a house to the ground than stay. If the front door is locked, I'm going to burn the whole house.
The whole house. Yeah, exactly.
Versus I'm busting just through the window until someone's coming. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Nothing is better than when I feel what?
Wait, are we skipping over you? Do you get to answer this one?
This
is these short ones I want
to
know.
Sorry. Nothing is better. Nothing is worse to me than when I feel trapped.
Is it trapped? Okay.
Yeah. That's it's trapped. When I feel like I can't get out of the pain. I can't get out of the story. I can't get out of the work. There's no ending to this.
Yeah.
Here at the office, we have tons of deadlines that are arbitrary, purely for me to feel like I'm not trapped.
Yeah.
Do you struggle? I mean, this is something I struggle with too, and maybe you don't. But for me, I think that if I don't have a deadline, I will procrastinate.
Oh, listen.
I will fill the day.
Oh,
if I'm like,
goodness.
I'll procrastinate.
But we'll fill the day.
Oh, I'll fill it.
I'm not going to watch 10 hours of TV necessarily.
I mean, maybe.
I will get,
but
I will my day will be full of
I will.
Dumb
I will
stuff.
Be like, you know what? I'm going to go have lunch with that friend because I need more time with him.
Oh,
or
yes.
I will fill it with all kinds of things and not actually get the work done. I'd like to justify that as I'm better under pressure.
Yep.
Because I do kick into a different gear. When it's I'm sure we'll get into that with whatever stress or health, whatever that
I'm
is. But like, yeah, but
yeah.
when it comes down to pressure time, I'm like, now I can go and I'll do this for 7 hours.
Uh-huh.
But if it's like the middle of the day and it's lunch, I'm like, I'll go eat out and then walk around. I got time.
I think I do my best. I'm like, oh, I'll go get a manicure. Do I need a massage?
Treat myself.
I don't know. Yeah. I should treat myself.
Especially if it's looming that there will be pain and like hard work on the other end.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm going to fill the front end with all the fun things.
Do you feel like you do your best work under pressure?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I think, it doesn't leave any room for me to kind of like dilly-dally about anything. Like, I know what I want to do. I know exactly what decision or for me, like what edits I need to make, and I can do that faster.
I'm not a long crafter of anything.
No.
Like, oh, let me just work on this for a long time without a deadline. Whereas there's an Enneagram 5 that we both know that has been working on a book since I met him.
Oh, man.
6 years ago. And has not... And you just can't get to the end of it because he's doing such a beautiful job of crafting.
Mm.
Nope, not my ministry.
Not my ministry.
Not my story.
I feel really impressed with you guys, though, because you both, I feel this is as someone who's younger and experiencing this, as you enter in and do more work and get more kind of recognition for the stuff you're doing, I feel like there is a loss of fun or a loss of freedom. And I think you both have done this really well where you actually have fun at your work.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been something that you've had to like fight tooth and nail for? Or how is that just like a natural thing for you guys to make fun in a world where like it's expected that you're not having a lot of fun?
That's a great question.
Hmm. So I think what I have realized in the last year, and part of this has been friends close to me that also own their own businesses being like, hey, you've got to get an assistant, you've got to get a manager, you've got to get help. Because in my life, it's very easy for me to be like, I'll just handle it. And that could be anything. And for so long in building a company too, and I know Annie knows this as well, like we had to do everything.
Yeah.
Because you're building it. I have to do not only doing the interviews, but then doing the marketing, but then thinking about, oh, wait, I got to go book this person. And oh, my partner in at least the podcast has to do the editing, and it just gets to be too much to where at some point you max out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't become, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're also, you can't do your best work. And so I think that's one of the things I've come to in the last probably 6 months to a year, being like, okay, I need help. I can't be everywhere all the time to everyone and then do my job well.
Yeah.
Nor be present with my friends or eventually, you know, date someone and hopefully get married and have some kids, mm-hmm. that if I don't start getting some help in some areas. And honestly, realizing there are people that are specialized in doing what they do that are way better at it than I am.
Yeah.
And but that's also a release of control.
Yeah.
And so that's hard too.
We can get trapped if someone else is in control.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially if it's...
Oh, is that what it is?
Especially if your name is on the final product and it's like, oh, that's Annie's thing. And you're like, well, I did some of it. But it's like you want to do all of it so you can say that's actually yours. That's really hard, I can imagine.
Yeah. In this most recent project I did for the ACMs, I realized in executive producing and hosting it, there was... And I had a team, like hired out the team, but I found myself starting to micromanage a little bit, especially when it got into editing, because I have a vision for what I know it should be and what I want it to be. Should be is probably not the right word or phrase.
That's
fine. But
yeah. No, that's right.
I know where I want it to go and visually what it should be and what the content should be and how the story should be told. And so there are moments where I found with people on my team that would be like, no, it needs to be this. Like, why is it not this? And then getting really frustrated. And part of that was the pressure of the client and the timeline of what we had to get things done. But then also the perfectionist in me and stress of this has to be perfect, because also it reflects on me. So anyway, that's right. Yeah.
This is a perfect setup for us to go to security and stress numbers.
Oh, okay.
So for our friends listening, if they've listened to the whole series, they've heard me say this, but if they haven't, I'll say it to y'all. If this is the only show they're hearing, neither of these are bad. You don't go one place in health and one place in unhealth. You actually need them both. We can go back and listen to Haley talk in our first episode of the season, of the NES summer season, talking about when you are in security, it's like pulling the fruit from the tree you live in. Like, you need it. When you're in stress, you're falling down that tree, and that number is what you grab to hold you and to keep you from falling into unhealth. And so let's talk first. Let's listen to Suzanne describe what it is like when we go toward a 5 in security. Let's hear her thoughts on that. So where do 7s go when they are secure?
To 5.
It's an insane truth, but it is true.
It's like, you know, I'm not going to do anything this afternoon. I'm going to be right here. I feel good and things are good and I kind of want to just sit here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do that. That's a good thing. A better thing that comes from 5s is for 7s to trust their body of knowledge.
Mm.
7s are generally really smart. They've picked up tons of information. They were just too bored with the repetitive nature of it to care if they made an A or a C. But they got it.
Mm-hmm.
They have it. And they are intuitively smart.
Mm.
And when they're in that secure 5 other headspace, that's a good thing.
Well, friends, what do you think? 7s are not connected to the feeling triad, so we got to work at that. What does it look like when you go toward a 5? What does it look like when you get slower in decision making and slower in processing? How do you see that in your life?
I think for me, it's any time that I'm doing some kind of like vacation or I have a space where it's spread out and I don't have to do anything in that time, I think I get really into future thinking and creating things in the future of like what could happen.
Oh, either
it's, especially for me, it's like business ideas of being like, here's new things that I could do or try. I get really creative about switching things up or creating new things in my 5 space. That or just like planning vacations or future fun things that I could do, like buy an RV and go to every national park. I don't know.
Oh, just things of just that like, nature. Yeah,
it's on the list.
Yes, it's one of those. But like, I get really into it, though. Like, I go 5 deep where I'm like, okay, here's how you would do that. You're going to get the pass. You're going to do it. And I like fully fledged. I don't know if I'll ever do that. But like in those spaces where I'm relaxed, I can go really deep into those things. And I think I usually end up starting into some kind of hobby. I don't know if I ever finish that hobby, but I start into something.
What do you think?
I mean, it's funny listening to her talk about going to 5 because I'm like, as she was talking, like, what did it say in the book? Like, I don't really know what that means. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the Enneagram, but I don't know. Well, I'm trying to remember now what
she
said.
About both of us is when we go on vacations together, people would think that you and I would be like, okay, so at 8 o'clock we're doing this, and at 10 o'clock we're doing this, and then we're no.
Do not
you
give me a schedule.
Don't give me a schedule
or a deadline on when I'm on vacation.
Don't make me do anything. I'm going to read a book for probably 7 hours.
Mm. Yes, I want to sit. Like vacation, I just went on. I was at the pool by like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. Granted, it was 2 hours behind, so I was up earlier.
Yeah.
But I laid by the pool and read a book and then got in the pool, got out, kept reading. Like, that is rest to me.
And I think people would expect sevens on vacation to go willy-nilly.
Now, we did – one of my friends planned an ATV trip to go ride ATVs in the desert in Scottsdale or outside of Scottsdale while we were there this weekend. And I could feel myself getting anxious about going to ride ATVs in the mountains, as much fun as that is leading up to it. Because I was like, wait, this is taking away from pool time and me laying at the pool and reading a book.
Uh-huh.
But then once I was there, I was like, oh, wait, this is so fun. This is great. Like, why was I nervous about it? Mm. But I was cutting into, there was a time we had to be there.
Yes,
there was a time we may or may not get back. I was like, what if the pool chairs are gone? Like, how are we going to, where am I going to sit? Because the pool was crazy that weekend. Yeah. So.
And I notice in myself that my speed decreases greatly when I am going toward that security number. When I feel safe in my sevenness, when I feel the healthiest in my sevenness and I'm going toward my security number, toward that, I feel like I'm a little bit slower. I feel like I don't have to make quick decisions because I'm not trying to get out of pain.
Yeah.
Well, I think I feel really confident in myself.
Yes.
And in who I am. I'm not living in comparison of looking at someone else and what they're doing and how I'm measuring up or not measuring up. That, as I've done a lot of work on the last couple of years, and Brené Brown calls it the hustle for worthiness.
Yeah.
Like, that has been the thing that I've really had to work through over the last couple of years, partially because it's just naturally who I am, just hustling. But at the same time, previous relationships that told me I had to jump through hoops to be loved. Mm. And so, you know, Brené was kind of the first person to give me language around all of that. But I think when I'm in like security, I feel comfortable and confident in my own skin.
Oh man. Yeah. I feel like when my mind is not racing about thinking about what I should be doing to keep up with other people or whatever. Yeah. When I can just sit, that's where the savoring comes for me, where I can just sit in life and wake up and say, you know, what sounds really good is coffee. And I can just have a cup of coffee and sit on a back porch. That's where I can really slow down and really appreciate the small things and just like the things that I actually have, which is cool.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Suzanne talk for a second about what happens in when we go toward our stress number, the number that actually we need to take care of ourselves, because it is also about our speed. And I think y'all will think this is interesting to hear her thoughts. And tell me where Enneagram 7s go in stress.
To one.
Oh, you can ask anyone who works for me about that, Suzanne Stabile.
Well, and the thing that's so good about that is that stuff gets done.
Yeah.
It gets done. Mm-hmm. And more methodical people than sevens would like to have done a little bit each day of the week. Mm-hmm. But if you work under the leadership of a seven, that's just not always your option. Yeah. So don't waste your time. Be ready. Because it's going to all hit, and then you got to get stuff done. You need to get it done then. I think perhaps more than any other number except 8, moving to 5 in stress, I think this move is really important because 7s discover themselves getting stuff done. Mm-hmm. It's like they are so intentionally distanced from feeling stress. For them to know they're stressed comes in the signal of, oh my gosh, I got all the laundry done and I've washed the car and I, you know, cleaned out the flower beds or whatever. Mm-hmm. I must be stressed. It's like you have to have a clue that you're stressed. Otherwise, it just feels like more motion.
Yeah.
More energy and more motion. And it's real important to know the difference.
Yeah. True, false?
Very true for me.
Man.
This one I've been experiencing a lot. Even, I mean, like, what, for example,
because of us.
Well, I was going to say, because the work that I'm doing here, this past year, I've had to step into places where I don't know what I'm doing, and I've had to learn on the job. And so I think I end up flipping more into the one in the stress and trying to figure that out. And so it becomes more meticulous. And I don't even know if she said this. For me, I think the inner critic comes out big time for me. And that's really frustrating because I don't usually have that when I'm doing fine. It's just when things start stressing out, that's when it's my seven comparison. And then it's the inner critic on top of that of saying, you're terrible and everyone else is having a great time. And it's really not that hard for people. And that's where I start spiraling down. And so, and that's a lot of unhealth going to stress. There's healthy ways to go into this. Yeah. But that's when I'm at my unhealthiest and I'm stressed out, that's where my brain goes.
I kind of wonder, too, if that's because I have the same thing. My inner critic, she really is a piece of work.
She's loud. But
she's a real piece of work. I need to give her a name or something. Yeah. But I wonder, too, though, if it's as creatives, because part of that creative cycle is like, this is an amazing idea. Oh, wait, is it a good idea? Like, oh, wait, I'm terrible. But wait, I'm really good at this. Like, it is this up and down. Oh, wait, it got done and it's incredible. Like, it's this up and down in the creative process. So I have to wonder, as sevens and creatives, is that inner critic, is it magnified even more as when we go to stress in a one? I don't know.
I think so. I used to think up until this series, I thought when I go to a one, that is bad. It is bad when I start seeing one behaviors. But through Suzanne and Haley and these conversations, I'm like, oh, actually, it's a real gift when I can go there and get things done. I mean, like the thing she said about how that's how we know we're stressed is when we're getting a lot of things done. Does that seem true to y'all?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, which now I realize I'm stressed way more than I think.
That's
what I
can
say. Yeah, she said that. I was like, oh, you mean that those days when I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the laundry and then I'm going to clean the house and then I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to like
all the things,
get stuff done where I think I'm being very efficient. Maybe I'm not.
But you also, I think it's both. I think you are being efficient, but it is also, I mean, if it is true that our stress number helps us take care of ourselves, you are lining things up for a reason because there's some area. Well, I will say this for me, but I think this is true for all three of us. When I will line my things up in eight categories to get everything done, it's because there are two categories that feel wildly out of control to me.
Or maybe I'm just wanting to avoid them because there's pain there.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I think especially for me, not having anyone that's checking my calendar or keeping up with stuff, it's really easy for me to get down the road. And then I'm realizing, oh, I've missed like five different things and I kick right into stress. And so then I'm planning out schedules. Everything needs to be written down meticulously because I can't forget again. And so I think it's easy for me to get triggered in that space where I'm like, I'm not a details person, but I have to be a details person right now, which is hard.
Interesting.
And you could have had a full-time job by now. Whatever. It's fine. It's cool.
That feels
it's cool.
like that's something we need to talk about.
That's right.
What a conversation.
I like how she said that in that sevens, if you work with sevens, you are going to deal with their procrastination. Like, stop expecting sevens to have a long tail of getting things done.
Yeah.
And you said that. You said that deadlines help you actually finish things.
Right. I mean, really getting right up to the deadline.
Oh, yeah. It's the last, 8 hours. That's really, the last day of getting something done. That's really when I'm pumping things out.
Yeah. It's always funny. It made me think about, my business manager in accounting when she's like, have you thought about billing? Have you thought about, it's time to get that stuff done? And I'm like, there's nothing I loathe more in owning a business than having to deal with the financials of it.
Oh, man.
And figuring out, okay, wait, have we billed this client? And wait,
their
overage is here. And wait, I need it. But then how much do I bill? I want people to like me. Like, but wait a second, my work is valuable and my time is valuable. Like, I go into a lot of that. And so they're literally, I'll say to her, okay, I'm doing it on Friday. And then Friday comes, I'm like, I really needed to rest. And so
Monday sounds better.
And I needed to fill my soul with lunch with a friend.
Yes.
And so I think it'll be Monday. And she knows. She just knows.
Oh, man.
I know you're eager to hear more about our sevens, but I'm taking one last break to tell you about our newest partner on the That Sounds Fun family, the Glorify app. Glorify is a Christian daily worship and well-being app that creates space and structure for its users to connect with God and their community every day. Designed to help Christians get into good worship habits with bite-sized, curated content, the Glorify app offers daily hand-picked Bible readings, guided meditations, worship music, and space for reflection and prayer. Listeners around the world are guided through bite-sized worship routines to strengthen their relationship with God and recharge their spiritual journey every day. Their content is inclusive and accessible to everyone, no matter their denomination or place of residence, bringing the joy of connecting with God and their community daily while reinventing quiet time through technology. Not only are they backed by some familiar voices you may have heard right here on That Sounds Fun, including Sadie Huff and Priscilla Shire, but you can also listen to exclusive content put together by them. They're even ranked the number one daily worship and well-being app and trusted by over 1 million listeners. Between being on the road for tour and in and out of the office with the team, the Glorify app helps to add more structure to my quiet time and worship routine. Sometimes we even listen to their curated playlists from Torn Wells or Carrie Jobe or Brian Johnson and more around the office while we're all working to keep our heads and hearts in the right places. One of my favorite parts about the app is that you can fall asleep peacefully listening to a variety of bedtime meditations, declarations, and prayers and music to eliminate the stress and anxiety of the day. And then start your morning with the Psalms morning meditation guided by Corey Ard and the sound of calming waves in the background. I could just listen to Corey's declarations all day because of his voice, and it feels like I've completely escaped to my favorite place at the lake. It's such an easy tool to add into your day if you're struggling with your daily quiet time. Use Glorify to deepen your relationship with the Lord and get 50% off unlimited access to premium content and unlock more guided meditations designed to help you get into that good worship habit and grow closer to God. Download the Glorify app now. It's the one with the hands in prayer or like two friends giving a high five, and create an account and enter the code That Sounds Fun in the profile section for a special limited time discount of 50%. And now back to our Enneagram 7. I feel like I have two really distinct different kind of deadlines. I have those kind, like book writing deadlines.
Yep.
And you and I also do this because we live a lot of life together where we'll go, okay, I'm going to eat this certain way or exercise a certain way or drink it for the next month. But then the reason we give ourselves a deadline is so we don't feel I don't have to do this forever. Mm. And even with my book contract, I know when my book contract is up.
Yeah.
When I'm done writing the books on this contract, because in my head, I'm like, I don't have to do this forever. I don't have to do any of these things forever. It just, I need deadlines like that that say, you don't have to, you can, this is a season. Everything, I work really well in seasons. Does that ring true to y'all?
Especially with that kind of stuff, when I know that I'm going to be heavily loaded with work, it's nice to have deadlines there and say, okay, it's just this month. And actually, I get to decide what next month looks like. And I'm the one who's deciding if it's going to be busy or if I'm going to decide to take a July and really enjoy the summer, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But like, that's for me, that's the freedom. And that's what I really, I enjoy deadlines to a point when there is just a season of hard work or whatever it is.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow. Ash, one of my favorite questions that we like to ask is, what do you need God to tell you on a daily basis? Like what, or just every now and again, what do y'all need God to say to you as a seven?
I think for me, I need to hear that I am enough just as I am in this moment, that I don't need to jump through hoops. I don't have to achieve anything. Yeah. I don't have to perform, that I am just enough as I am and that it is good.
Mm. That's really good.
Wow. Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say, actually. I feel very sane. Yeah. No, I think that's just, there is a level of, I think we think so much. And there is, when you have a little bit of that comparison in your head, I think my mind is just always rolling. And so when I can wake up and just have God remind me and say, you are enough. It's fine. You don't need to do anything today. Like, I think that's we talk about that. Like, you can savor the day then, knowing that you don't have to perform, which is a big deal.
Yeah. Mine's so different. I really feel like, I think they all tie. The thing I need is for the Lord to say, I'm taking care of it. I'm taking care of it. I'm taking care of you.
I'm
taking care of. Yeah. Like you are not alone in this.
Yeah.
Whatever the gestures wildly, whatever the this is, right? Whether it's a relationship or work or my life in general, I need the Lord to remind me, like, I'm taking care of this.
Yeah.
It may not look the way you thought and it's going to hurt And if you were taking care of it, there would be no pain. It would just be fine.
Yeah, right.
It'll be okay.
But it does feel like that.
I think that's the big thing for me too. Cause so for me, it's like, it's, I don't need to, when I'm enough, when I don't have to be anything more, I have to be on and performing to be taken care of. That's what I do. I have to, I have to show up and be all these different things. And that's when I'm taken care of.
In order to get paid, in order to be in relationships.
Relationships, yeah. Friendships, yeah. Whatever it is, I have to be on to get those things. Yes. And so when I wake up and I hear that I'm enough, I think I hear you're taken care of. It's like you're enough and you don't need to do anything else because you're taken care of.
Oh,
and
that's
interesting. I think it's a joint of the two. At least that's just for me. I don't know.
I feel that.
I think that's really true.
I feel that. And especially I think in the times where I don't feel like being on, that's when it probably starts to go to unhealthy. But I feel like the expectation of me is to be on. Yeah. There's something I thought of in like the worth stuff. And I think it also goes to like my reframing. Like, you know this, I was in a relationship for a very long time that was very destructive. And one of the things that was said to me over and over again, one, it was a lot of, I love you, but it was a, I love you, but if you would just do this, then. Oof. And so that was so destructive for me in that time, because at the end it was like, well, you're not worth being married to. You're not worth this. Mm-hmm. And so, which was so hurtful. But as I think about like, people are like, why did you stay in that for so long? One, they gave me just enough to stay in it.
Yeah.
And so I could constantly rationalize and reframe, well, he's not that, it's not that bad. Like, oh, every relationship is hard. Or, but he did this, this, and this. And so I think like, as I look back on that, I'm like, well, it makes sense now the why I rationalized so many things. Because I so badly wanted to be in, I wanted to be married because that's what all my friends were doing at that time. Yeah. And that's a desire of my heart. But it's like you can reframe and rationalize something that is not healthy for you to be in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I mean, full yes.
Yes.
Like that is, like, I don't, as we were talking about the worth and the reframing, I'm like,
Yeah. So for the people that are listening that are not sevens, that love a seven, that have sevens in their lives, what do you need? What do you need from the people who love you?
Everything.
No, I'm just kidding. Give it all. Yes.
Oh, man.
That's our gluttony that lives in us.
The gluttony.
That's all things.
How does gluttony come out in you?
In every shape. And it's in stress and health, it looks differently. But for me, it's everything. It's, I think it's that idea of like, I want a cookie, but I want 15 cookies. And then on top of that, it's like, for me, if I open the door at all, the day becomes like a treat yourself day. So it's like, oh, you know what? I should eat out. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to eat out, I should like go and get like a big meal. And then after that, I should probably watch a movie and like really treat myself or whatever it is. Like, I just, I open the floodgates and then everything comes in. And that's, especially on unhealth, I can kind of catch myself because it's those things where I'm like, oh, you really like, you had food in your fridge today and you like drove away and went and got food somewhere else. You shouldn't have done that. And like, that is a trigger for me. Like, okay, I need to notice that.
That's good.
What about you?
I mean, I just want more and more and more. Like, I think, and again, it goes back to me not feeling enough. So it's like, how can I fill the not enough?
Yeah.
And
which never gets filled.
Yeah. It's funny too. It's like, you talk about the dinner. Like, Annie knows this, and all of my friends know this. If you go to dinner with me, more than likely, I'm going to get three beverages. Like, I want a water. I probably want a glass of wine, most likely. And then I will probably at some point in the meal.
After the meal's arrived.
After the meal has arrived.
Even after the meal's arrived.
Yeah.
I will be like, can I get a Coke?
Can I get a Coke?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
But all I've said at the beginning of the dinner, I'm not getting a Coke. Like, I'm trying to stop.
Oh, my goodness. And then you have the whole mind battle of like, am I going to get it?
But then we're eating Mexican. It's like, how do you not drink a Coke?
You got to have a Coke.
Or a cheeseburger. Like, I have to have one.
It's just not, yeah.
Yeah, the gluttony thing is, I think it is the same as, it can be framed either way. It can either be really bad where we give ourselves all the way to, we want all of everything all the time. But on the good side, to me, that's why we create great experiences for people.
Yeah.
That's why we're fun to be friends with. If someone else goes, let's go to a Vanderbilt baseball game. And I go, well, yeah, let's go to a Vanderbilt baseball game. I'll get bowl peanuts. I'll get LaCroix. I'll get chairs. I will, whatever experience you bring to me, I will upgrade it to the most.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Given the chance. And
you are very good at that.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, then, you are too. I mean, that's what we do.
And then you bring yourself, who's art, like you're enthusiastic, which helps everyone else get to be in that place, which is helpful. And I think the nice thing too about that is when we're at our superpower, that ability to just wake up, and when you're actually content, we bring that joy into everything, which is so exciting. It doesn't need, you don't need to do anything else. You wake up and you're like, sun is shining, or it's raining and you're like, oh, it's raining. It's so beautiful outside.
I love a day and hearing rain.
Any situation, I am just like, if I'm in that place and it's healthy and that's my superpower, is just like, everything is great. I'm having a great day. It's going great. Yeah, I don't know. It's just super.
You're right.
Super fun.
You completely asked a question.
I know. And I was like, so we know it's fine.
She asked the gluttony question.
I was like, oh, and then we avoided that because that makes me feel.
No, it's totally fine. We have to pack a bag and go to our feelings.
Yeah.
What do you need from the people who love you? What do sevens need?
That one's a hard one for me because it feels so like it depends on the time for me. I'm all over the place because sometimes I'm just like, all I need is just like a vacation and we can go and do something fun. And sometimes I need them to say like, hey, you're clearly running from something. So like sit down, like lock yourself in the room, in your room for an hour and just sit. Or like I need people that will kind of like shake me out of whatever funk I'm in because I think it's hard for me to look in at my own life and I'm always reframing. So I don't know if things are going bad or not. So someone that knows me well enough to kind of shake me out of whatever I'm in.
That's really good. I think I go back to, I need to feel seen.
Hmm.
Yeah. I need to feel seen. I need to feel known and loved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's probably a general thing across most people, but.
You'd be surprised. That's not what people are saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is, that's probably what I need more, but I need it to be authentic. It cannot be manufactured. It cannot be manipulative. It cannot be, it cannot come from a place that is not pure.
Mm-hmm.
I can suss that out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I will run from it so fast. Yeah. I will shut down. Yeah. So,
yeah, for me, it is from the people that love me. I need you just let me be me. Let me be me.
Mm, that's good too.
Don't force me into being the one who throws the party, but don't force me to be the quiet one either.
Hmm.
Like, let me be me. I'm with you, Craig. Correct me. There are people in my life who have tons of permission. Y'all are in this category of like, calling my bluff if I'm not healthy or, you know, that kind of stuff. But in general, the people who love me most, I feel like are the ones who are like, Annie's allowed to do that and that and that and be in that and say that. And, you know, it just means a lot to me when people let me be me.
That's really good because I think I feel that too, because I think there are tapes that I've heard of like, oh, you can't do that or you shouldn't do that or whatever. Part of that goes back to growing up in the church and feeling like I need to be the perfect Christian girl to be loved, which is one thing. My first session with my therapist several years ago, that was the first thing she dug into and I was like, oh, this is going to be painful.
You're like, hang on.
This is going to be great. But I think I need to just let me be me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who God created me to be. And that's good.
That feels so true. I feel like the way that I can identify, like the way I explain my life is like golden retriever in a China shop where it's like, I'm just like, I'm not like angry and breaking things. I'm just like really excited to be there
and
I'm breaking
things.
Everything.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I feel like, there's a lot of my life where people are like, you're too much, you're too loud, whatever it is, and trying to like, put it down and just like that freedom just being like, oh yeah, like he's that, but it's Craig, like it's great.
Right.
And there's no one's trying to change you or do anything. They'll call you out when they need to, but they know you and let you be.
Right.
It's so comforting.
Mm. It is all, as you are talking, I'm going, oh, it's just always about not being trapped. Don't make me be somebody I'm not.
don't
make
me
go somewhere that I can't go. Yeah.
Oh,
don't tell me I can't do something.
Yes. Don't tell me I can't.
It's not going to go well for you.
Yeah, that's right. It's not going to go well for you because we have an eight wing.
Or
you and I have an eight wing.
Don't compare me to someone else. Also not going to go well for you.
Yes. What did we not say about sevens that you want to make sure people know about sevens? Is there anything?
I don't know.
I feel like
we're really fun. We're really
Did you know
funny.
That we're really fun?
We will be your dancing bear at times. Don't worry.
I will be the first one on a dance floor. That band starts
that
playing,
is,
and oof. I am like, give it to me. Actually, I could use a dance floor right now.
We went to a wedding. I don't know. How long has Bradley and Austin been married? 4 years. And we... Her mom. We're going to talk about the dance floor part.
Oh, yeah.
Her mom was like, I've never seen a more fun group of friends because we just, dominated the dance floor.
Man, that was one of the most fun. It's like all eight of us girls road trip down to Cullman, Alabama.
Yep.
Small town.
And took over.
There's a lot of great memories.
They passed
from
out
night.
Sliders to us on the dance floor.
They brought food
burgers.
To you?
Yes. I had never experienced anything like that. Dude. I was like, this wedding
like
is
sweat,
my dream.
And the band was amazing.
Amazing.
Sweat pouring down your body.
Oh, it was just so great.
And when you do that, it gives other people permission to be ridiculous. And so it's just like a whole thing.
Yes.
It's the best.
Sliders on a dance floor is really
the
a
best.
Gift.
Yeah. Like, thank you, Bradley and Austin.
Yes.
Okay. Last question we always ask. First of all, thank you both for doing this.
This was so fun.
I'm literally so
very
fun.
Happy that it was y'all. Y'all are the right people.
We could sit and talk forever.
For hours.
We could
yeah, exactly.
How much time do you guys have in the car while you're driving?
Tell me, because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what sounds fun to you.
Well, today,
yes.
What sounds fun? I could use a vacation and another trip. Like, I think after being home for the last year, I am ready to go to like Australia, Europe. Yeah. Give me anywhere, like travel and see people and experience different cultures. Like that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Where would you pick to go? You get a free flight tomorrow anywhere in the world and the friends you want to go are available to go. Where are you going?
I would say probably Australia or Europe.
Okay.
I don't want to, I don't want to put myself in a box.
You know, you want to narrow
she
it down.
Wants, notice she said all of
so
Europe.
Funny.
So that's not
yeah,
really
not even a country.
Just like everything in Europe.
That is such a perfect answer.
That's great.
Craig, what sounds fun to you?
I think at the time that this is airing, we'll be close to 4th of July, where I go to my aunt and uncle's house. They have like a castle on a lake in Indiana. And my family goes there. It's like immediate family, close family. We all go. And it's like a day of being on the lake, wake surfing, wakeboarding. We play sand volleyball. There's great food, good drinks. And then we go and watch a classical symphony on this like grassy area and go and watch fireworks at the end of the day. And it is literally heaven on earth. Like there is, you talk about like never being able to be filled up. That is a day where I go and I'm like, I'm full. I don't need anything else. I am wholly content. And that is, it's so great. So that sounds
you're
fun
getting,
to me right now.
Like everything, food, culture,
everything.
Like,
yeah.
Fireworks.
Fun.
And
fireworks,
it's like
family.
It's the town where my dad grew up. So it kind of feels like a little Andy Griffith. Like we're walking down the street and like waving at all the people that we know. And it's really fun.
Yeah.
So
good
Annie,
answer. Yes,
because
Craig?
The show is that called That Sounds Fun. What sounds fun to you?
He's such a good.
that was really a great transition.
I've been practicing this
he's
been
here. Yeah. Okay. What sounds fun to me today? I'm just going to think of the first thing. I would like a pizza.
Oh.
And to be by the pool. I'd like pizza by the pool.
We can make that happen.
Thank
that
you.
That is very
that
doable.
Yeah. That just feels like I would like pizza by the pool at like, I love the days where you don't have anything all day.
Oh, man.
And so you're like still by the pool at like 6 because you didn't realize what time it was and that kind of thing.
That's my favorite time of day to be by a pool or by the water. Anything by the water.
Yeah.
At about 5, 6.
Yes. 100%.
I would like to have pizza and
a Coke,
probably
and
a glass of
and
a good glass of white wine.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway,
well done, Seven. Thanks for
so
doing this.
So you're going to the pool
I'm
today.
I'm going to the pool
and
with
pizza.
Some pizza. Yeah, if you'll see me, I'll be at the pool.
That's
with
where
pizza.
She'll be.
Oh, friends, don't you just love Ashley and Craig? I mean, I knew you loved them already, but gosh, they're the best. This series has been so fun, and I'm so sad it's over. If you're a Seven, share the show with your friends and loved ones so it can help them understand us and love us better. Also, be sure to go back and listen to numbers 1 through 8 of Enneas Summer 2021 so you get to hear about all 9 types. This is our 3rd year of Enneas Summer, so if you really enjoyed these conversations and haven't heard our previous years, and 2019 and 2020. Go back and listen to those. We also have Q&A episodes from those years that dig a little deeper into questions that you may also have. We'll link to those episodes in the show notes. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you may need me. That is how you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. What a great month. I've loved Annie's summer. I love doing shows on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. This is a great summer at the podcast, y'all. So go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you. I will do the same. Have a great Friday and happy Independence Day. We'll see you back here on Monday with our first live podcast recording from our That Sounds Fun tour. I cannot wait for you to hear these conversations. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.